This is To the Ends of the Earth. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage your faith and ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ. Each broadcast seeks to highlight a missionary or organization that can encourage you and provide resources for your ministry, whether at home or abroad, whether vocationally or on a volunteer basis. It is our prayer that this presentation will inspire, encourage, and equip you to serve the Lord by bringing the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Our guest today is Bill Mastin. Bill served for more than 2 decades in Young Life, a youth outreach ministry that focuses upon bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to young people. It was this background and experience that later led to engaging with youth ministry and leadership training throughout the world. Bill is the founder and president of Nexus Vivus International, an international mission support organization that focuses on befriending, equipping, and encouraging indigenous youth ministries all over the world. Well, Bill, it's excellent to have you here. I'm going to keep calling you Bill, even though that sounds weird. The great honor of this time is getting to interview my own dad on his life and active ministry. So thank you so much for coming along. I really appreciate you coming in for this.
Well, it's an honor, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, we always start this program by asking someone to describe the gospel of Christ and how you've seen it play out, and in your case, how you've seen it play out in different cultures.
Yeah, that's a big question. I know it's simple with the scripture, but the way I would phrase it, I guess, is that we were made by God in His image, as we see in Genesis. And also in Genesis, we see that we decided to go our own way. In Isaiah 53, of course, we see that all we like sheep have gone astray, leaving us apart from God, hopelessly and helplessly lost. At which point, God embarked on the greatest rescue mission in history of man in becoming a helpless child, living the life we live to identify with us, and ultimately paying the price on our heads through the death on the cross. Here's the clincher: 3 days later, coming back to life, the resurrection, and ascending to the Father, only to ultimately return, not helpless, but as the King of Kings. And I think where I've seen seen the gospel play out in different cultures is in some cultures that tend to have more physical needs, I've seen them more interested in the king nature of Christ and the power nature of the gospel, in the sense of the resurrection. And in some more developed countries that may not have the same physical needs, I've seen more the suffering side of the gospel be tuned into by folks there. So, but either way, either case, all part of the same gospel. And
wonderful. Well, what can you tell us about your ministry history? I know you've been in ministry my whole life, but how did that go for you?
Well, 1978, September 1st, Karen and I came on Young Life staff. Young Life is a youth organization, outreach organization, global in reach. And we spent 27 years on Young Life staff. We left in 2004 with an idea, a dream, a vision of Nexus International, and have been at it the last 14 years. And I guess the idea of Nexus, what it is really begins in my mind with the early church, in that we see Paul and the apostles. They weren't about necessarily sending the gospel via professional Christians, but they went about to different communities, cultures, and so on, and empowering believers indigenous to each community and culture, and then encouraging and teaching them along the way.
Fantastic. So many of our listeners are likely unfamiliar, or at least only peripherally familiar with Nexus Vivus and what it's about. So if you were to give a sort of nutshell explanation of Nexus Vivus and its mission and its place in the body of Christ, how would you describe it?
Well, my elevator speech, if you will, a nutshell, as you say, would go something like this, that we in Nexus are disciples who are patiently making disciples, who are making disciples of young people around the world, that 97% of the world's youth population lives outside the United States, while 95% of the world's youth ministry resources lie inside the United States. Nexus exists to equip and empower and encourage the world outside the U.S., where 97% of the young people live, by helping to bring 95% of the resources to youth leaders, beginning with their own journey with Jesus. And when I talk about resources, I'm not talking primarily about money. I'm talking about life-on-life discipleship, teaching, encouragement, and those things. And yes, in some case, finances can play a role, but not primary.
It's definitely rings true with my experience with the church abroad. Is, you know, there's a great focus on what's going on with the adults, as if that was the full humans, but a much diminished focus on kids and on youth, which are really the future of the church. So I could see where this is of remarkable importance and huge impact on the church abroad. It's fantastic. So what curricula is used throughout Nexus Vivus International's ministry? What sorts of are your standards?
Well, there's a couple ways I would answer that. One is I would describe Nexus much like a three-legged stool. As I say, the stool itself is about being disciples and making disciples of these youth leaders of leaders. And the three legs of the stool would be what we call our tree of core values, which is, if you can imagine a tree, the roots would symbolize the person's own faith journey, which healthy roots then come together and form a healthy trunk, which we would call the community, the church community, the youth group community, whatever. And of course, healthy roots and a healthy trunk will tend to produce healthy branches and fruit. And so that's one piece we do. And second, our strategy comes from, well, the scripture, but Robert Coleman's book, Master Plan of Evangelism, the idea of investing in a few to reach the many. And the program, as far as youth ministry itself, we talk about is and teach abroad is thing we call full spectrum youth ministry. Basically, I would say, Brad, it's thinking of discipleship from root to fruit, outreach to young people, to lost young people, bringing them into the community of faith, the church, and seeing them being made as disciples of Jesus for lifelong and ultimately hopefully becoming leaders in the church. Mm. We do some other things like our AIYM, Institute of Youth Ministry, that you've taught at, where we teach theology classes, because in a lot of the poorer or parts of the world that there are not a lot of resources, the idea of going to a Bible school or seminary is just not a possibility. And so one of our desires is to bring Bible school and seminary to them.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, and my personal interactions with AIYM, particularly in the Philippines, has been just really delightful and a joy to be able to see how providing those resources to people who might not otherwise have them can be impacting powerful within the body of Christ. So that's very, very, very cool. So how would you describe the current impact of Nexus Vivus International?
Well, we try to keep track of that just so we... It's nice to see what the Lord's doing and nice to know if we're, you know, if it's making it, what kind of difference it's making. At this point in 2018, we have 10 Nexus staff who are traveling approximately 700 to 800 days combined a year, direct relationships with 287 youth ministry leaders of leaders. These are leaders, Brad, in represent 60 countries who are they have other staff and or volunteer staff and or volunteers that they're leading in their youth group ministry. These folks work with an average of 10 to 50 volunteer staff who have relationships with literally 100,000 plus young people on a weekly basis. Mm. In one country alone in Asia, we are in partnership with an organization who is training and discipling youth leaders from 50 different churches and three major youth-serving foundations. In that country alone, 100,000 plus young people are being impacted weekly. And for us, we like to think about, as God allows us, to think about ministry not as addition, that we're not starting Nexus chapters around the world, but we're multiplying the ideas of Scripture through already existing youth workers and in youth-serving organizations. So multiplication versus addition.
Mm. Tremendous. Yeah, I think it's difficult to even measure the impact. Once you're serving the leaders and serving the feeders, there's almost an impossibility of being able to measure how far reaching that effort might go. Mm. Well, now we've come to the time in the show where we're going to listen to a specially selected scripture that you've picked out for us. You picked out John 15, 1 through 8, so we'll take a moment and reflectively listen to that, and then come back and continue the interview.
Great.
John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
I'm so thankful that you chose that passage. It's one that you've taught me to love very well, and has been critical to my walk with Christ. But what is it about that passage that has been of encouragement to you throughout your life and ministry?
Well, I think a couple things. One is the organic nature that Jesus describes the relationship, his relationship, which includes, of course, the Father is the gardener and him is the vine. And and just the organic nature that, again, healthy roots produces a healthy vine, a healthy vine produces healthy branches, and healthy branches produce healthy fruit. As a result of everything working together. And I think for many years in my ministry and Christian life, I looked at Jesus' words where he says he wants us to be fruitful. And I think for many years I took that as my job was to be fruitful, when in fact, as I've gone on in the years, I see it differently, maybe more full body. Yes, he wants us to be fruitful, but our jobs, which resonates with John 6:29, when Jesus says the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, that our work in that passage is to be in an abiding posture. Mm-hmm. And the overflow of the healthy vine, who is Jesus, in us will produce fruit. And I think for me that's been a great encouragement as we for my own life first and foremost, but also as you think about the people we work with overseas. I've not seen many ministries fail because of bad mechanics, bad programs. Yes, there was always room to improve, certainly, but I've seen a number of youth ministries fail or go off the tracks because of issues of the heart. And for me, this passage speaks so directly to that, is that we need to be in an abiding posture. And what I love about it is, again, there's this sense that this is just my own deal. So whether if it's incorrect, c'est la vie. But what I love about this image that Jesus gives us is the branches are not asked to promote themselves. They're not asked to feed themselves. They're not asked to protect themselves. That's the job of the gardener and other branches. Mm. And our part is to be abiding. And so many places we go, Brad, overseas, people are just looking, and I understand this, for the newest sort of program, tip, trick, or tool in youth ministry. And while those are not all bad in any way, what often gets neglected is, again, that sense of their abiding place in the vine is first and foremost and primary.
Well, I completely agree. It's one of the core missing things in most ministry or missionary training, even seminary training, maybe even especially seminary training. There's an incredible amount of, or lack of focus on the individual's relationship and reliance and abiding on Christ. I mean, if we're not there, then boy, it's going to be a long, hard road.
Well, I was just going to say, one author I read recently said, you can't give away what you don't have, which I've heard that, but he added a second piece to that, which is, but you will give away what you do have. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about it actually just the other day, is I can't give away what I don't have. Makes sense. But I will give away what I do have. Well, if I'm not in an abiding place, what I do have may not be the greatest and may not be God's best to give away, and yet that is what I will give away. Hence back to what I believe my job is, John 6:29, and then John 15, just said differently, is to believe and abide.
Mm. Amen. That's tremendous. Well, every life with Christ has hard times and dark moments, and life in ministry or vocational ministry, of course, is no difference. So we'll assume that there were and have been dark times and challenges and moments of despair in the ministry in general. But how have you pulled through it? What's it been like walking through those difficult times as a vocational minister and as a minister of the gospel?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there have been those times, you know, certainly internally, personally, and you know, in regarding the vocational ministry piece aside of things. Of course, the two to me are very organically and dynamically connected. And that my answer, how have I walked through those times? And my answer is sometimes better than others, and sometimes worse than others as the journey goes. But I think the couple of things that for me were keys in it, looking back, and I hope, because we know those disappointing hard times, again, both personally and ministry-wise, will come. You know, Jesus tells us that, you know, in the parable of the where we build our house on the rock or the sand, the given is that the storms will come. Mm. And storms coming will create difficulty and such and so on, and oftentimes will lead to disappointments and despair and discouragement. That's the given, and so the question is, you know, where will our house be built on? Well, a couple of keys for me in walking through those times has been, I think we as human beings generally are we have the whole fight or flight mechanism built into us. Mm. And I think for me anyway, that's probably not, neither one of those is necessarily a good way to deal with disappointments and struggles like that. Mm. My mind goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the scripture when confronted by Nebuchadnezzar, and just he says, hey, just, you know, renounce and worship, renounce your God, worship my gods. And they said, you know what, good king, this is me paraphrasing, but didn't say good king. You know what, king? our God can save us from the fire, but if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship your God. Mm. And the thing that came in my mind has really helped me consider or think about is sometimes God takes us from the fire, sometimes through the fire. And in the middle of those disappointing times, the through the fire experience for me is, I'm at my, I know I'm going to be moving towards getting through them if I embrace a sadness or disappointment and not try to run away from it. Embrace it and walk through it with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and some trusted friends. So the keys for me personally, prayer, crying out, confession and repentance, the Word, God's living Word, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, is living and active, and then I, to stay in the Word, and a few close people who cannot run my race for me in the same way I cannot run their race for them, but they are willing to run the race with me, which includes times of joy, disappointment, and so on and so forth. But to have someone, I remember at a different point in life running a long distance one time in a race, and at mile 25, I was on the edge of delirium from fatigue, and all of a sudden, one of a Young Life staff member at that time just came out and ran the last mile, didn't say a word the whole last mile, but just ran with me, and that really helped me get through that last mile, is just the presence of that good friend.
I love that image, that idea of going through the trial rather than trying to get out of it as quickly as possible. What a beautiful picture. Well, it's our sincere hope that there are future missionaries or prospective missionaries, pastors, parachurch servants, people who might choose to use not just their private energies but also potentially pursue a vocation in ministry and all the sacrifices that entails. So what words of advice, what encouragements would you have for those who might be considering the idea of pursuing vocational ministry as their lifestyle on this planet?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. When I was considering ministry back in the mid-70s, I talked to a pastor friend, and he said, try everything you can to not do it. And I thought, gosh, that just doesn't seem right. And he said, well, if God really is calling you to a vocational ministry, then you will, the desire won't go away, and he will, and you will get yourself there. But the danger, Brad, I see is it's almost like we through the years have created this professional Christian mission or ministry position. And if a person's not a vocational minister or missionary or whatever, they feel like they don't have the same basic calling in being a disciple and making disciples that Jesus tells. He doesn't say that in Matthew 28 just for the vocational. It's for all believers, right? And so that we all are called to be ministers, number one, of the gospel and disciple makers with family, neighbors, co-workers, fellow believers. Second thing that strikes me is that for those who go on in this or not, is to be a learner. Work at giving up the need to have all the right answers and realize there's always more to learn and to grow. Number three thought is to be a reader. Be a reader and a writer is what I would say. These don't sound very spiritual, do they? But it's okay, because I don't see the line of demarcation a lot of people see between secular and sacred. I think as a follower of Christ, all is potentially sacred. But to be a reader, first and foremost of God's Word, daily, that's to me is just not an option. And then read wide and broadly. Don't just read Christian books. That's great. Those are great. Can be great, I should say. But read all kinds of books. Read books. Just read, and I think things happen in our mind. And then also to write, to be a writer. Keep a journal. Write a short story. Write a psalm. But be a writer, because that helps us to learn to articulate our thoughts and take what's in our head and our hearts and put it on paper. Helps us to think through, and I think can be an avenue of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last but not least, it's an interesting thing. I was in a room with about 50 youth workers at one point in my life, and asked the question, how many of you have been or are being discipled? And my qualifiers were someone meeting with you regularly in the scripture, in prayer, and talking about life as ministry. And of the 50 people in the room, I think 8 people raised their hands who had or were currently being discipled. So number 4, and my last encouragement to people considering the ministry, or vocationally or not, is find someone older, a mentor, call that if you want to call that, a master craftsman, if you will, in the faith, to sit under and to again be with regularly, and allow them to take you to parts of the river that you haven't been yourself, and help you walk through the parts that you are in.
Tremendous. So how can people connect with Nexus Vivus International? How can they get on board? How can they be a part of what's going on? How can they apply the principles that make Nexus go to their lives and ministries?
Well, probably the one connection point we have is our website, which is nexusinternational.org. And there you can find out just a whole lot of the things I've been saying. You can see on the website, as well as if you want to be in contact with us in any way, there's contact information there as well. And so that would be the one real connection point we have. We're kind of like, if you will, in military terms, we're kind of more like one of the special forces arm of God's people, in that we're not on the grid in the way that maybe some organizations and so on are, which is not bad, but our place is we're pretty invisible, because as I say, the goal is not to start Nexus around the world, but to empower the body of Christ as it relates to youth ministry.
Tremendous. Well, we always like to close off these interviews with a simple question, and that simple question is, if you were to give one sentence to describe your journey with Jesus throughout the course of your life, what would that one sentence be?
One sentence. Show up and shut up. Surrender and submit.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It's been a delight and a real privilege to get to, first of all, be raised by you and raised in the training and admission of the Lord, but then to get to spend this time sharing about what you do and how the Lord's worked through your life. It's been a delight. To the Ends of the Earth is a ministry of Fort Collins Bible Church with the goal of encouraging individual believers in their mission and their walk. And every believer has a vital and important ministry to which they've been called by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what today's discussion was about. We hope you were encouraged within it.
Whether at home or whether abroad, your mission, dear saint, is the gospel of God. Whether in darkest jungles or down at the store, tell the news about Jesus and make him known more. Whether your mission field is where you were born, or deep in the heart of places unknown, shout out his grace poured out at the cross. Receive him by faith, that none shall be lost.